Have you ever seen the TV show series 24? Has anybody ever seen that show? I particularly used to not like it very much when it was on TV, partly because you had to wait so long in between each episode to make sure everything was okay. And I kind of left like my heart and my stomach like on the table, and I waited a week, you know, to get it back in, and it was too long. But now you can buy TV series on DVD or whatever, and Netflix or something, and watch them all right away. Have you ever tried to do that? So my sister and I have this this favorite thing for us to do, which is we watch a 24 series at a holiday. It makes my mom infuriated because we disappear down, you know, to watch it on TV, and we ignore her, and you know, she doesn't like that show. But anyway, all the same, we love 24. And I started to talk to my sister last night about why we love it so much. What is it about the show that makes us love it? I think, also, did you hear that it's coming back in May 2014? So this is kind of a little commercial. They're actually paying our church, you know, $1 million for me to advertise. The 24 show, just so you know, is about a man named, does anybody know? Jack, right? Okay, and we figure that we both like to watch the show, first of all, probably because our dad liked it, which makes us feel close to him. But also, it's well written, and it seems to be well acted, where some shows are not as much. And it kind of gives us the possibility to have a hero. I think there's something inside of us that wants somebody that kind of is like Superman, you know, has a big S on themselves and conquers all bad things, right? And is beaming from mountain to mountain and building to building, right? And conquers all evil. You know those people, the heroes, right? Well, that's kind of Jack. And if you know Jack's story, he grew up, he had a really tough life. He had a terrible father. And he married a wife who wasn't really very strong of character. And when testing came, she didn't really live up to that. And then, unfortunately, she died a tragic death. And his daughter is probably the biggest blessing in his life. And he makes sure that she is safe under any cost. But Jack's job is really for the United States of America. He risks his life every day in this 24-hour period, right? For the sake of United States citizens, for its leaders and its president. And even though he's a fictional TV character, he reminds me of some people that I know in real life. Throughout history, there have been people whose stories remind us that heroes exist. One person can make a difference in the world. Their actions can affect change that implements new ideas and new freedoms for the next generation. We read about these people in history books, or we watch their biographies on TV or in movies, and we tell children about life choices and how they too can keep these people's memories alive. If I were to ask you, who is your hero? Who would you say it was? I bet if each of us were to respond, they would all have sort of a different character. Some might choose their mother or their father or their coach or their youth director, or some might choose Mother Teresa or Martin Luther King Jr. or Princess Diana, who worked tirelessly in a very difficult life for those in need. But who is your hero? Now, I don't want you to leave here thinking that my hero is the fictional character Jack from 24. But I wonder, though, as we think about what makes somebody a hero, I wonder sometimes, why are they the heroes, right? I mean, were they born with something different that the rest of us don't have? I mean, were they given something inside of them, like strength or good looks or, you know, machoism or brains, or what do they have that I don't have, that I'm not some hero that leaps from building to building. I don't think that's really it. I believe that what makes someone shine is someone who grabbed a hold of a truth that was beyond themselves and selflessly pursued it. Men and women who dare to believe the impossible, that just their life could impact change. In case you didn't know it, God created each and every one of us to shine. When we look over history, I remember, as many of you do, the actions of such people as Abraham Lincoln and Martin Luther King Jr. and Rosa Parks and all the firemen and women and policemen and women on 9/11 who ran into those buildings to save those people. I remember our military, as Bob Wagner holds us accountable every Sunday to remember in prayer, who are serving our nation around the world, working for freedom. I remember Mother Teresa, who lived with those in poverty, seeking to be with them. I remember Gandhi, who fasted for peace. I remember Helen Keller, who overcame all obstacles in front of her and still was able to communicate a powerful message for each of us to do the same. There are people who are charismatic and selfless, who risk their lives, who serve others, who seek out truth and freedom and light. I sometimes think what's missing is our reality to believe that God could work through us to shine. Do you remember the story of Mary when the angel came to visit her and she was told that she would carry baby Jesus? And she asked this question, how can it be? How can it be that you would choose me, right? And do you remember what the angel said to her? I know it's not Christmas, but I love this story, right? The angel says, nothing is impossible with God. Do you believe that God created you with a purpose to shine? In Jeremiah, it says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future of hope. This past week in our evening Bible study, we talked about Daniel from the Bible. Do you all remember Daniel? We studied him intensely in our women's Bible study. And he was one of those heroes of the Old Testament. But when we started to discuss him on Tuesday night, it was really interesting because, of course, everybody remembers the couple of famous stories from Daniel. Do you remember what they are? The one is that he got sent where? With the roaring lions, right? And what happened? He was spared his life, right? The lions did not consume him. And then, of course, we know the story about his three friends who got thrown into the fiery furnace, right? And they were not consumed by the fire, but there were four people in the fire. One of them was dancing with them, running around. Do you remember? The stories of Daniel are like the stories of Jack, right? They're heroes. And Daniel was known as a man who bowed his knee to our Lord. Even when asked to do so at the point of death, he would not submit to paganism. In Ephesians, it says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Do you remember the name of our sermon series? We're following in Jesus' footsteps, right? We're walking the way he taught us to walk. And here it says in Ephesians that God prepared beforehand where and how we should walk so that we might fulfill it with our own feet. God has created us for opportunities to do good works and to make a difference so that we can shine. And when others see us shining, they will know the glory of our Lord. Our passage today talks about the salt of the earth and when it loses its taste, and Kathy brought it up earlier in our time of confession. And then he talks about light. Have you ever been in darkness? I think I might have shared this with you, but my dad grew up with a mom who was terrified of the dark. When a storm came along in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and her husband was at work at the steel mill, she would gather up all four of her kids and take them into the basement, which I would be more terrified down there than anywhere, but she didn't want to be in the dark upstairs, and she would take a flashlight down there, and they would all sit on the stairs, and they would bolt the door so that nothing could happen to them, and they sat out every single rainstorm or snowstorm or whatever until it was over and the lights came back on in the basement all huddled up together. So you can imagine my dad, right, who was, I don't know if you ever met him, but he was like 6'2", big, huge, strong man, but every time there was a lightning storm or the lights went out, I think inside of him, it took him back to being about 4 or 5 years old with his mom and the flashlight in the huddled basement, and he was a little bit scared. Have you ever been in the dark? We know that the Bible sometimes says something one way, but really it means something deeper, right? When the Bible talks about darkness, it's not literally darkness, right? It's a season where we can't see the light. And the Bible promises us that those who have experienced darkness will see a great light. They will know it deep within them, and their light will shine. I don't have Volunteer Appreciation Sunday so that we can recognize each other for good works, or I always tease Mary about the mitzvah of the Jewish tradition, right? Because the good works that you're supposed to do, you get to put a little check mark next to it, right? Like, I did a good work, woohoo, yay me, right? Give yourself a pat on the back. You know, that's not why we recognize volunteers, right? We recognize volunteers because you are making a difference for God in this church, and you are making a difference for God in this community, and you are making a difference for God in this world, and we see God through you. It's not that we start to worship you. We start to love God more because of the gift of your life. Jesus talks in the Bible about the collective strength of a light of a community on a hill. Each house in a city with its lights casts a glow in the sky. And as Christians come together, each of us shining our own lights makes a brilliant light in the world so that those who are in darkness can see and know God. Really, you have one of two choices. You either live in darkness or you live in light. I'm going to close with a little story about a mom. I want to applaud each of you for being a mom. I just want to say it is the toughest job ever. Now, I'm not saying that dads don't have a tough job, because they do. It's sexist of me not to include them, but the story's about a mom, so I just want to let you know that I know how hard your job is. And this story's about a mom who really wanted to pass on to her children what was most important. Do you guys ever want to do that as a mom? Ever? Maybe? Okay. And so she decided, after studying God and studying Jesus, that what she wanted to do most was to pass on to her children this idea to shine light wherever they went. So she would drop them off at school every morning. She would pat their shoulder and she would whisper to them, "Shine for Jesus today." She read in all these parenting books about how it's great to be positive, that positive energy is powerful. And rather than saying, "Don't do this," or "Remember to do this," or encouraging children of the negatives, instead to say something positive. And she figured Jesus was the most positive thing you could ever impact in a child's life. So she would say to them, first and foremost, as Jesus' followers, we represent him. Wherever we go, at school or at home or in our neighborhood or at church, when we make choices, hopefully we'll choose kindness and love, and we will shine. And at nighttime, she would have them sing the little song that Mary made reference to in the children's time, right? "This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine." We are naturally drawn to positive energy. We are naturally built up when we are encouraged. We feel courageous when we remember the story that Jesus triumphed over evil and darkness. What shall we say, Paul asks, in response to evil? Paul says, if God is for us, who can be against us? Now, you might think this sermon is just for little kids, right? But you can shine too. As it says in Philippians, shine as stars into the world. Shine for Jesus, for now and forevermore. Amen.